You're listening to the Hunting Roots Podcast, brought to you by Onyx Hunt and our good friends at Mossy Oak, because everything's better in Bottomland. All right, rolling once again. I'm Brody Swisher. Joining me tonight is my boy Aiden. How you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, guys, this is episode 134, and we're going to do a pretty quick hunt recap. We've got a big day tomorrow, getting back into it. This is the first week of turkey season here in Tennessee, and we just wrapped up today. What is today? Day five?
Day five.
And this has been a long and painful day for Aiden. We'll talk more about it here in just a few moments, but day five is in the books. We're going to try to wrap this thing up and get this podcast loaded and out to you guys, and then shut her down, man, and get ready for day six. We've been rolling every day so far. We're going to talk about, again, day five today, as well as a quick recap of day one. Saturday morning, the kickoff, we had a heck of a hunt, didn't we?
It was good. Real good one.
Really good one, man. We were on the X. We've said it a number of times, but we were on the X. And as we're talking about on the X, I mean, we say it all the time. We're not just throwing sales pitches and just trying to blow smoke. I mean, we seriously use Onyx Hunt all the time, and at this point of the year, it's every day, all day, every day. I'm referring to my phone, looking for what we're going to do tomorrow. You know, earlier, just wrapping up church, before church, after church, I'm sitting there scrolling, looking, hey, what's the plan for tomorrow? You know, what do we got going? What's the weather going to be tomorrow? You know, and just getting a game plan, a strategy, and, man, Onyx is a tool. I strongly recommend you not go through spring turkey season without some. Be sure to get it loaded in your phone. You can check them out at onyxmaps.com. Good folks, great hunters, great people, and great partnership for us. So we really encourage you to check out Onyx and what it's all about. Like I said, Saturday morning, kickoff to the season, it was one for the books. I mean, you and I had a big time. Rimbo killed his turkey on one of his turkeys, his first turkey of the season on the youth hunt last week. And then that puts you up to bat for opening morning. And we went back to a spot that you and I doubled last year. And folks hadn't seen that thing, check out that video on the YouTube channel. Great hunt. We doubled up, had a number of times. I think it was three or four times, three in the decoys that day, four birds in the field, and just an awesome hunt. Same spot, same situation. And we got down, and we since last year, we've kind of figured out a little bit better positioning for ourselves further down the field where we can watch the whole deal. Last year, I remember, we had to kind of wait for the bird. We heard them fly down. We heard them spitting and drumming, but they were just kind of around this little corner in the field. We just couldn't see stuff, you remember?
Yeah.
We just heard them, but it took a little while. Once they finally got up there, we got to work on them. But this year, we moved down to where we could see the whole show. We could watch the fly down, watch everything. And so Friday, what happened? Friday morning, what do we do before the opener?
Went out, scouted for some turkeys, listened for them, and we had the turkey in the spot he needed to be.
Yeah, he was right. Right where he needed to be. And that's so encouraging, you know. I mean, a lot of folks would go out and they listen and they don't hear anything the day before, or maybe they go and try to roost one the night before. And like we've said before, I don't put a lot of stock in roosting a bird. I mean, more times than not, I won't hear one gobble and he's not cranked up gobbling the night before on the roost. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I usually don't mess with that. But the morning before is when I want to hear and see where he's at. And that's what we did. And when he cranked up Friday morning, he was right where he needed to be, right where we were anticipating him to be. And so that was high hopes as we got into Saturday morning, kicking things off. We went in super early. What time did we get in there? You remember?
It was like, I know we woke up 4:15.
Yeah.
Probably got in there a little before 5, maybe right at 5.
Yeah. Yeah. We were wanting to get in super early. Had a pretty good walk to get back in there. Just wanted to get in there, you know, wide open field. And again, we were kind of anticipating these birds being tucked in and roosted right there around the edge of the field. So I wanted to get in there before things were breaking and, you know, before they wake up, before they see things out, moving out in the field, and got in there real early. And, in fact, you know, we got in there early enough. We could hear, you know, other hunters around different farms and different locations around us. You know, you could hear trucks pulling up, people getting out, you know, doors slamming and different stuff. But it was cool to know we were where we needed to be, plenty of time. And, man, when that first bird gobbled, I know you and I have talked about this. When he first gobbled that first one in the morning, and you, again, you anticipate him. You're set up for him to be right there. But when he does gobble, that first gobble, man, it literally made my heart stop. I know it just skip a beat or something. I felt something in my chest just, you know, just it's just like, man, this is what we've been dreaming about, what we've been excited about, fired up about for weeks and weeks. And, yeah, we had the youth hunt, you know, but now it's like big boy time. It's the season. You got a gun. I got a tag. We're both ready to go. Both of us got tags in our pockets. And it's like now it's our turn to play. And so when it finally comes together, happens, he gobbles, it just lights you up. And, I mean, just a jolt, man. And he hammered, and he was like I said, he was right there. He wasn't 200 yards away. And so fired up. He's popping off pretty good. And I don't know, how many times he gobbled? Bunch? 50? 100?
Yeah.
Just
easily.
Yeah, just gobbled good. And the crazy thing was, we're watching him, and I'm trying – I think I've seen him in the tree. I'm sitting there running the camera, and I'm looking at him up in the tree, and we're watching him, and then I'm fiddling around with stuff, and you see a second bird fly down, right?
Yeah, or I see the first bird fly down.
Right, well, yeah. When I say second bird, I mean you saw a bird that wasn't, you know, a bird other than the one that was gobbling, because there's only one bird gobbling.
The bird that was gobbling was still in the trees.
Yeah, and you saw one fly down from a different location than that, right?
Yep.
Did he come from what did you tell me? He came from left or right, or what was it?
He came from the right there, down in this pocket. The bird we are hearing gobbling was more towards the left, and the bird I saw fly down was more towards the right.
Yeah. And that was the deal. And I remember you saying, you're like, oh, man, one just flew down. And I guess, you just tell it from a different direction or something, and then all of a sudden, that other one's still gobbling. I'm like, good gosh, man. I thought maybe that was his hen or something. And I grabbed my binos and looking down their glass, and I see, man, that's a long beard right there. That other one's up in the tree still gobbling. But it wasn't no time, and it pitches out. I just pointed the camera down there and hit record, and I got him gliding across the frame of the camera, but I wasn't watching him. You know, I've seen it with my eyeball and didn't have the camera on him. He glides across the frame and pitches out there right next to the other one, and he blows up. He's strutting, you know, and of course we're sitting there thinking, okay, that's the boss. He's strutting. He's doing his thing. He was the only one gobbling. So now we got this perfect setup, and, I mean, we're already punch tags in our mind. I know I'm sitting here thinking, this is it, man. This is exactly what we anticipated. They just did it. They're in the field. We got a Jake and hen decoy out in front of us, 20 yards, and this is as good as done deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've got it now. And, you know, like I said, I'm already thinking, okay, man, this is – okay, we're gonna be home by 6:30. It wasn't long after, you know, it was 6 – maybe 6:10 when they flew down, maybe earlier than that. And they start marching up the field. But then they start creeping toward the far side of the field. And they kept doing it. Now, I've not made a call. I didn't call to them on the roost. Historically, you know, they did exactly what other birds have always done. Right there in that same spot. You know, for the last 5 years, we've watched it happen, just like that happened. And, you know, I got to think about it. This will be another whole podcast. You know, we need to talk about historical, you know, hunting situations and scenarios and just, you know, historically good spots and consistent spots that happen over and over again. We've killed birds, and so it's not like you're watching the same bird fly in the same spot. You know, we killed those birds. They're no longer there to teach another bird to do that. But then you look a generation or two later, the same, you know, grandbaby turkeys are doing the same thing, you know, the same exact thing. It's like it's imprinted on that. And so, like I said, we'll talk about that because I think it's a pretty fascinating concept and you know, just a finding, you know, that we've found through years and years hunting the same spots. But those birds did it right on the money. But then they're starting to ease up that far side of the field. And like I said, it's almost like they're decoy shy. We're starting to wonder if they've even seen the decoys. Maybe there's a little bit of hump out there in the field that we can't, you know, that we're not as visible to, you know, the decoys aren't as visible as we thought maybe they were. Again, I hadn't made a sound, no calling, but they're skirting around that far side of the field, and they're going up the side. I thought, okay, anytime now, boys, you just come on across. But then they kept easing up, and they kept easing up. And so then I'm working, you know, getting that call in my mouth and think, Lord, we're going to call these suckers, man, and they're, let them know we're here. Tell them we love them or whatever. And so I call, and they just, you know, just hammer back. And they were lighting it up on the call, but they kept just easing that far side. And what's going through your mind when you see that? Like, here we are, perfect scenario. Last year they marched right up to us. this year they're going around the outside. What were you thinking? Were you thinking this is not happening? Were you thinking, you know, what was going on in your mind?
Yeah, I was thinking it's not going to happen. We're going to have to change the setup. We're going to have to move around.
Yeah.
Just because last year it happened, they came up how they needed to, and
yeah.
This year they're doing the opposite. They're going out away from us, and so it was tough to watch it happen. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
There goes the hunt we were hoping for.
I know. That's what I kept thinking. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. Here we are, first thing, first 15 minutes on the ground. This hunt's over. They're skirting us. And they just acted like a couple whipped schoolboys that were scared to death to come over, and they're seizing up that other side. And like I said, okay, I'm thinking, okay, anytime they're just going to turn and hook down in here and just a little J-hook into the spot here. But they kept going. And now they're kind of going over the ridge. I'm calling, I'm throwing out everything I got for calls and squealing and just whining and everything on that call trying to get them over. And they'd call back at me, but they kept just kind of cruising up. And then all of a sudden I see the first lead bird go over the ridge and out of sight. I thought, oh, my gosh, my heart sunk, man. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Opening day, these birds are acting like they're scared of the world. And then that second bird, he kind of, before he went over the hill, he just stopped and he started looking. And then he kind of stepped towards us, and I'm calling, and he just kind of, you know, he kind of turned. It's like he turned, and I don't know. I don't know if it was a call, if it was, you know, finally caught a glimpse of the decoy, if they were intentionally flanking our spot or what. But they kind of just went up, the first one out of sight, but then all of a sudden they kind of swung around, flanked those decoys, came in and hooked around from above us, and then here they come marching across the field. And I'm just thinking, all right, it's on now. We got them. And then from then on, it was just on a string, and here they come. Two of them mean walking across the field. And, dude, there's something about that, man. I mean, I know you were breathing. What did I tell you? At one point, I was telling you
to take deep breaths.
Yeah, I heard you over there. You just Darth Vader in it, man. And I was like, oh, man, he's fired up as I am. And we were both just hyperventilating or whatever. And I was like, man, just take deep breaths. Don't pass out. I get where I get still to this day. I mean, I've killed plenty of turkeys, but I mean, to this day, I still get where I feel like I'm about to pass out, just black out. I just get so nervous. I'm just like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm starting, you know, everything getting dim and start seeing stars or whatever. I just get, man, it's just that adrenaline rolling through me. It just about kills me. It's strong enough to kill a man. And anyway, I was fired up, telling you just keep breathing, man. You just keep breathing. And anyway, it was good. But they marched right up there, and both of them come in there bowed up. One was strutting, one just tag-teaming, and they bowed up. I think it was the non-strutter was the one that popped the decoy, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And that bird, like I said, that bird never gobbled, never strutted. Looked to have decent spurs, you know, and everything, but he was a big enough man to pop the decoy. But they bowed up a little bit for a minute there, and then the strutter, He kind of came around the side. He stood upright and came out of the strut like he was catching on to something. May have seen us moving around or whatever. I don't know. He just kind of laid them feathers down. I gave you the green light, and you thumped him, man, and made a great shot, set him down, and it was just such a relief. You were fired up, weren't you?
Yeah. No, I was so excited.
Yeah, you were just you were over here just fist pumping, and of course we're like, just be still, man. And God, you know, the other bird. You know, he just kind of jumped and flew up and then sat right back down and went out there and kind of did his thing. He didn't know what in the world obviously was going on. He was in shooting range, but I don't know. You know, I thought let's save him for another day. We don't want to clean the field out, kill them all on that particular day and, you know, let some other birds move in. And there's a lot of birds in there, so it's not like we're worried about killing two like we did last year. But I don't know. That one there, let him live another day and do his thing. He's kind of quiet, so it's a good bird to have around the farm just to maybe the neighbors won't hear him. But anyway, it's a good time, man. It's a great way to start the season. You killing a bird, and it just gets that monkey off the back. You know what I'm saying? You know, you've been fired up about it, and then to see it happen, get in there, and you make the shot. What were you shooting on that particular hunt?
I had a Mossberg. What did I have? I don't even know what it is.
It's a Mossberg, that's a 500, wasn't it? Mossberg 500 pump gun, 20-gauge, though. 20-gauge, shooting them TSS, Apex TSS number 9s. And it was tough on that turkey's noggin, and just a great low. We've been shooting that 20-gauge for a while. Like I said, we've dabbled in the 410s for a few years and still have those ready to go. It's been a long time since we killed one to 12-gauge, but then the – done the 410 thing, back to 20 gauge, and it's just been fun. It's been a good time, and so that's a heck of a little gun, nice and easy, lightweight gun to tote, and just hard to beat. Good tough gun. So that was day one. Day two, we go out. You're going to run the camera for me. Day two, get on some birds. Man, we were on right on the back. Went to a different farm. Same thing. Get out there to the farm, sitting up there on the top of the field, hear birds, what we thought were way off. And then we eased down there to try to cut the distance down 100 yards to them just to see if we can get a read on them, and then realize they're not near as far off as we thought. You know, now they're within 300 yards. It wasn't near as bad. Slid in on them, and they were jamming and just slamming. And best we can tell, coyotes blew that up because they were just gobbling good. Two, maybe three birds just ripping it. And then they went silent, flew off the limb. I don't know where they went. We never saw them fly off. We heard a bird wings popping off a limb. And like I said, never figured out where they flew down. But they must have slid on, glided for a long way because we could never find them again, never heard them again. And only bird we heard was way off. It may have been them. If it was, like I said, they flew off the farm. But that was day two. Day three, hunting with a buddy, my old buddy Mike. We went to a spot and first roost bust on the roost that I've had this year where we didn't hear anything on the roost tree was on Monday morning. You know, I was telling a buddy today, we've heard birds every morning. Every time we've gone, we've heard birds except for Monday morning. And we zeroed on the first stop, second farm. Man, I had a great opportunity with my buddy Mike. We found a couple birds. I actually bumped some birds out of the field. On the first field we came into, bumped these birds, and the way they were headed, we thought we can get around on them. They're going to probably head to this next field. Sure enough, we make a move, get around them in the field, and I mean, we hadn't been there no time, and we slid around, and Mike's got a old double bull we used to hunt out of 20 years ago. It's kind of his bow hunting blind. He's got plans to kill one with the bow, and we're back in the back, and we're like, man, we've got to find a spot to hide, and we just like, dude, don't jump in the blind. As we jump in this blind, cause, I mean, it's, we're just anticipating these birds. We're just hoping we hadn't busted them, trying to make this big loop around them. So we just jump in this blind, just get in there and get out of the way and get tucked in. And, I mean, we hadn't been there a couple minutes and hear these birds pop out. And they were kind of standoffish, just kind of like they weren't sure what's up. And we obviously just busted them in the front field, so they're kind of goofy. But, man, we got to call in at them and lit them up. And then in doing so, called up a hen from back behind us. She comes up, and so now they're seeing this hen, hearing us call. That hen starts to go to them. They march down this little dissed up food plot area and walked right up out there strutting, and we made them gobble a few times. They put on a pretty good little show, and I was supposed to be filming Mike, and he had asked me earlier today, he said, man, let me film you. Let me run that camera. And so when we finally had, I told him, nah, man, I'll video, no big deal. I told him that when we were on the farm that we weren't hearing nothing. We get over to this farm. I say, hey, man, we got these birds lit up coming. I said, hey, you want to run this camera now? And I grabbed that gun from him, and he took the camera, and I got to kill one. So I said I hadn't shot one with a 12-gauge in a long time. That was that has been a long time until the other day. Monday, shot one with his 0870, 12-gauge, Remington 870, 12-gauge. And so I got to kill my first tag of the season. So now the Swisher boys, Remy, Aiden and myself, we have got a tag punched. And Rimbo's fired up thinking he's up to bat again. That's what his plan was. And so he's thinking big stuff. He's going to get out and get after it. I guess yesterday, before we get into today, yesterday, day four, went and hunted some public ground. And just that was another day we didn't hear squat, which was much to be expected. We hunted. Oh, man, we covered a lot of ground, a lot of cutting and running and rolling and driving and glassing and looking all morning to about 11 o'clock. Saw a bunch of hens, but nothing in the way of gobblers. Never heard a gobbler, never saw one. Oh, so yesterday was pretty rough. Today, Remy thought he was going to be up to bat, was planning on it, and then this morning he's like, I'll let you go with Aiden. And so me and you went, man, and we had high hopes in a new farm. New field we hadn't been in yet this year, and we were looking forward to it this morning. And, I mean, it was one of those, kind of like opening day, we anticipated exactly what we were thinking and strategizing and analyzing and all the stuff we've seen in the past, and sure enough, it happened to the T this morning. We get in there, same deal, hoping and praying there's a bird where we're hoping he's going to be. And sure enough, that first gobble, pow, and I mean, just he ripped it right there where we were anticipating. And I mean, I remember hitting you in the ribs. I was like, oh man, it's on. Here he is. It's on. And it was so windy this morning. It's crazy. Super windy. But he was right where it needed to be. And decoys out front, bird to our left shoulder. You get your camera out, your phone out. You're going to try to record some Instagram reels and videos and stuff. What'd I tell you when I saw you pull your phone out? Because, wait, he wasn't far from us over there on the left. What'd I tell you about your phone?
Don't shine the light. You know, don't make it obvious or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, man. Cause I just thought he's going to pull out his phone and try to take a picture or I don't know what he's doing, but I thought you're going to turn your phone on, you tap that screen, it's going to light up. And I thought, man, that bird, he's liable to see that. You know, he's liable to see you flashing that screen at him or whatever. So I'm like, hey, don't turn that phone on. Don't start that phone up. Oh, it was a possum. You were going to video that possum, weren't you?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, possum coming across the field, and he starts walking right at us. You're getting ready to video that possum. And I was like, man, don't let that phone light up and scare that turkey. And I just told you that, and you kind of chilled with your phone, trying not to let it go. Possum goes right by your feet, just right across in front of you. And then I have my phone. I'm going to record you sitting there and get this gobbling. So I grab my phone, and I flip it on the video and hit play, and what happens?
Just flashlight turns on.
The whole – lit up the word. Oh, it's like that flash, like on a video in the dark, you know, that flash that's like lights up to – so you can have a light on whatever you're videoing, and it lights up just big, look like daggum lightning, man, and you, of course, rip around looking at me, and I'm like, oh, crap, everything I just told him not to do, I just turned around and did it myself, but shoved my phone down in my lap trying to get that out. Bird's still gobbling. All good, and then he finally pitches out, man. I remember he went silent. I thought, he's got to have flown down. Got to have flown down by now, and sure enough, he gobbles out on the ground out there, 300 yards maybe, 200 or 300 yards out to our left. Goes up the field a little bit, and he's just cranked up. Finally call at him a couple times, and he marches back down the field, comes in the corner, and you said, here he is, I see him, and sure enough, that sucker walked right up there. So what are you thinking? You see him in the corner of the field. What's going through your mind?
I'm just thinking he's locked into the decoys. I know he's not looking around.
Yeah.
I know he's just coming in. He's not very cautious. Doesn't have another bird on him, so he's just locked in.
Strutting.
And I'm just thinking to myself, I got this. You know, I got this.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I mean, when you said you saw him in the bottom corner, that's exactly what I thought. I thought, man, done deal. Here's another bird. We got him. Dead bird. And even when he was gobbling, you know, when he was gobbling, answering the calls, he gobbled. He was cutting off every call I made. You know, he'd start in, he'd just cut me off. And I just knew, I thought, he's coming. It's done. And when you saw him in the corner, coming out of that corner, I thought, yep, this is it. And he's coming across. I'm trying to get the camera on and shoot through some brush, struggling for focus on the camera and just irritated, like mumbling and crap and all that mess. And he's just marching across out in front of us, man. I see him come across your gun barrel. Just beautiful stuff. And rolling up there, that Jake, man. Again, they never go to the hen. Never go to the hen. They always go to address and confront that Jake decoy. Again, we're using that quarter strut Jake, I guess they call it, HDR Jake, AVNX Jake decoy. And it's just a bad dude. And, man, it just looks so good. And they always go to it. Like I said, they don't give a rip about that hen. They're going to address the situation with that Jake, and that's what he did. He marched right up there to him, stood up behind him, kind of bowed up. And then I think they see – I mean, we weren't really tucked in too much, not much between us and him, and he wasn't far at all, maybe 18, 20 yards. And I don't know if between you moving and me kind of shifting around with that camera or whatever, he marches up there and then pretty quickly comes out of strut. Or comes, you know, just lays his feathers down and comes out of strut and just puts that head up. You know, he caught something over there by us. I don't know what it was, but what was going on at that point? I think I told you to shoot him. When he came out of strut, I told you to shoot him. What are you looking at?
Yeah, I can't see him. You know, I had a tree in front of me right next to where the Jake decoy was, so I could see the Jake decoy, but I couldn't see much to the left, and that's right where the turkey was.
Yeah.
And so that was – it was tough. I was trying to move to the right. And he'd move his head around to the left, and I couldn't get a shot off, and it was
a mess, man. It was a mess, and I know I mentioned to you, you know, when I was setting the decoys out, I said, "Hey, make sure you can see the decoys. I want, you know, make sure you can." And you could, you know, you could see the decoys, but you know, we just didn't leave room for the bird standing to the left of decoys. And that's exactly what happened. He come up and he's on the left of the decoy and he was just totally blocked. So you're like, I can't shoot him. I can't see him or whatever. And of course I'm in a panic mode. Cause then that bird turned, he's hearing us whispering, I'm sure. He turns to kind of walk away. He tucks his wing, makes a turn. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And you go to the left, you're kind of leaning to the left. And I remember every time you'd lean to one way, that bird would kind of turn to the right. You know, he's kind of doing that, you know, turn and walk, and he'd walk to the right, and then he'd kind of turn back to the left. And every time you'd lean one way around that tree or the other, he'd kind of step the other way, and he's just walking straight away. And I remember you saying, I can't see him. I'm like, dude, work. I don't know what I say. Did I say work it out or make it happen or figure it out or something?
I don't really remember.
Yeah, that. We were both in just kind of panic mode at that point. But I remember just like, dude, you got to work it out, you know, figure it out, get to one side or the other of that tree and shoot this stinking bird. He's walking away, and he starts up across the hill leaving us. And like I said, I heard you say, you know, right now or something. And I'm like, yeah, kill him. And you shot. And, man, when you shot, that bird just kind of flinched. You know, he just kind of flinched. You could just see that head, you know, flinch and squatted legs and everything. And that was it. He wasn't hit at all. I think you – looking back, I'm be willing to bet you shot over him because there was no feathers flying. I mean, you just clean missed him. And so you missed him big, and I'm betting you shot over the top of him. And that's what – in my mind, in all the chaos and cluster of trying to get left side, right side of that tree, I think you came up off your gun. And then when you finally – he cleared the opening out there – you probably put that bead on him, but you didn't have the head back down on him and just shot over top of him because it missed him clean and clear. And after that first shot, he's getting out there scooting pretty good, so you didn't bother with another round. And it's a heartbreaker, man. It's a heartbreaker. Tell me what was going through your mind when that shot went off and you saw that bird still on his feet just walking away at a fast clip.
It's just disappointment. You know, it's a – it's tough when you don't kill a turkey, but it's tough because I know, like, I'm disappointed. I know I made you disappointed in a way. Not that you're disappointed in me, but that we just couldn't make it happen. And it's just, it's a tough, horrible feeling.
Yeah, it's tough to miss. Like I said, it's tough to miss anytime, especially when you know you got a camera rolling over your shoulder. That hurts extra special. Your dad's sitting there, and, you know, I know you feel like I've been there – plenty of times where I've been the one to miss, and you do. You feel like you let the guide down or your friend down that put you on the bird or whoever you're with. You know, you feel like you disappointed them, and I know you felt that way, and I know I probably didn't help the situation. I don't know if you sighed or I sighed big. We probably both like, oh, no. But I remember telling you and thinking in my mind, man, the next words that come out of your mouth can – be really good or really bad. And you know, and I know we are all, you know, frustrated, like, man, what happened, what'd you do, what, you know. And it's easy to pop off and start running your mouth and saying stupid stuff that you don't need to say. But I do remember telling you, say, hey, listen, I'm disappointed in how things went down. I'm not disappointed in you. I love you. I'm proud of you, still am. And it just stinks. And I told you, I said, hey, it wasn't your first miss. Won't be your last one. And, but boy, they sure do sting, especially when they come in there perfect like that. Textbook, 5 minutes off the roost, and there he is. But lessons learned, man. That's the thing. Takeaways from this one is, I think, you know, we got to get set up better where, you know, we use some of those trees to kind of be some cover, you know, have some stuff between us. But never did we think that it was going to be a shot breaker, you know, a deal breaker as far as getting a shot off in there. And so we're just going to have to get where we can juke and jive a little better, swing that gun a little better, and get those decoys out in the open more, whatever we need to do, just so that doesn't happen again. And we'll probably get out and give them a try again in the morning. So we're going to wrap this one up and get our stuff together and get in bed sooner than later, and looking forward to it. You going to hunt with me in the morning?
Heck yeah.
What time you got to be at work?
9.
9 o'clock, so. We got time for another good roost hunt, a little time before you got to be there. I mean, it's breaking day. I mean, those birds are getting on the ground not long after 6, and so we've got a spot. I think we know where there'll be one roosted, and so me and you go. I don't know if Remy's planning on going or not, but we'll get after and have another big time. I think we got rain coming in the afternoon, but should be good. Get out there and get a good hunt in before the storm comes through. So as I said this morning, man, I love you and I'm proud of you, and misses are part of it, man. That's life. That's hunting. That's life. We've talked about it a million times, you know, missing is, you know, just falling short of the mark, man, missing. It's straight out of the Bible. That's what they call sin. Sin is just that. Sin is missing the mark, and we've all sinned. We've all fallen short, and the Bible's clear about that. We've all fallen short, you know. God's got his glorious standard, and he's perfect. He's holy. He's the only one that's never screwed up, never sinned, and we've all fallen short of his glory, of that standard that he's laid out there. And man, that verse in the Bible talks about that. We've all fallen short of his glory, and it's good to know that that's what Jesus came for, is to make us right because of what he did on that cross. Hanging on that cross for us took away all the junk, all the sin, all our shortcomings, and that falling short, that missing the mark that we do every day. He died on the cross to take that away. And so when you look at your problems, your failures, and all the junk of life we do, stuff we allow ourselves to do and see and be a part of, man, he paid the price on that cross. And so I love that. So those times we miss and we fall short on that shot, man, it's just a good reminder of the price he paid for us. And it's all good. Shake it off. We're good to go in him. And so let's get packed up, get ready to roll, man. Day 6 coming tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. We appreciate you guys listening. I want to encourage you to chase him with all your heart, soul, and strength. We'll see you on the next one. Shoot straight. God bless.